Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. We have a big volcanic explosion on video. It's quite spectacular. Let's see it as it starts. Boom. Wow. Is it a big badaboom Tonga? It's a kind of tsunami-causing, if I understand correctly, volcanic explosion. It is expected that Japan will be covered in water by this. A tsunami more than 3 meters high, apparently, will reach the coast of Japan. May have already, I don't know. But it's stunning that at such a range, we see such a big explosion. Sprocket says, I love the move to Odyssey and Gab. But what happened to the outro song? It used to be pretty good, but now it sounds like a soundtrack to a 90s porno film. Well, the thing is, I chose, it's very hard to get rights to a song, and sometimes, as I did before, I took Creative Commons song, and they turn out, they remove the Creative Commons license on it, and they delete any trace of it on the internet, and they suddenly say, oh, it's now a commercial song. And so you end up having no proof that it used to be a Creative Commons song. And you have companies that are essentially buying rights and trying to monetize and cash from it. So now I've bought a commercial song, and it will be this for the rest of my life because I have a certificate of lifetime use for these songs. So you better start liking them. You're going to live with it until you die. I'm not buying a second song. The cost was like $30, and it removes the trouble of going through all of this. By the way, news for those of you who are on the Odyssey and you wanted better bandwidth, on top of Odyssey, of course, they are working on their own transcoding option, and they will have an MP3 option, but we have it here on JFG tonight. You can go, but any future shows starting yesterday, any future shows will have an MP3 version. So new, if you go in the description of the show, of any future shows, you will see a link to a MP3. I've programmed the whole thing so that it's done automatically for each each episode, because I didn't want to go through the extra trouble after I'm done for a show. I'm tired. I don't want to go through. Okay, let's now click to extract the MP3. So I did a script, and it's being served directly from my new server. So I really love how it's done. It's all automated, and now you can benefit from having a low bandwidth version of the show. Of course, the next project I will be working on is a faxed version, a transcript of the show that you can receive through fax. It's going to be all automated. There's going to be a detector of my voice. All you will have to do is enter your phone number, and you will receive a faxed version of the show. But for now, you got the MP3. Chronic Boom, she says, you say that consequentialist claims are ultimately deontological because there's always an underlying principle calling for the optimization of an outcome variable. Counterclaim. All deontological claims are consequentialist, since every rule seeks to set up a certain kind of game. This type of game is in itself an outcome. Liberty isn't good just because. It's good because agents are accountable and the game becomes fair. But underpinning that is your preference for everyone to be rewarded or punished for their own actions. An outcome in itself. Very interesting. And you know what? If you go back to check my debate with Stefan, but she's commenting on an edit that I've done on arguably.io. By the way, it's amazing. We've had more than 10 people, I believe, subscribe to arguably.io. The site is not even started yet, but it's available to edit. And so there are some people who have added stuff about the existence of God, stuff about deontological and consequential ethics. Someone started an article about prophylaxis is wrong, and he wants to accumulate all the information about the arguments that prophylaxis is wrong. That's a great start for a starting encyclopedia. I'm very enthusiastic about what you guys have been doing. Now, what Chronic Boom comments on is I made a categorical distinction on the encyclopedia today about consequentialist versus deontological claims. And I did say that there is a way in which one can be said to be the other. And that is true. It's really only a practical distinction. In the ultimate form, I'm right about deontological claims, consequentialist claims ultimately being deontological. And you are right also, Chronic Boom, about the reverse. But if you want to see a misunderstanding built around this, go back to check my Stefan Molyneux. My Stefan Molyneux debate, because at the beginning he asks me to define to describe what I think is his view of morality, and I used a description of a deontological ethics, but I called it an outcome in society. I said, ultimately, you think that there is some way in which society can be made into a better outcome through your principles. And he said, that is not at all my position. Of course, he was reacting to the word outcome. But I wasn't even thinking of outcome in my head as a consequentialist thing. I was pointing out to exactly what you're pointing out right now, which is that ultimately, there is some kind of result of a deontological ethic, and that result can be seen to be a consequence, and therefore every deontological systems are also consequentialist. But we all understand that what we're commenting on when we divide these two things are a practical division, not a ultimate one. Sprocket says, yes, TPS on mail order, VHS tapes, the 80s retro track version of TPS is coming. And Len Dalt was answering to Chronic Boom, there is a subtle difference there. Outcomes do not necessarily equal games. Games allow the door to open to different outcomes. Consequentialists prefer to optimize for the outcome itself and disregard the rules of the game, thus setting up a different game. Yes, but in the end, you can make the case that setting up a game is an outcome. That's pretty much what she's saying. But those are all very good points. Those are all things that you guys should add to the encyclopedia. Now, it's not looking good yet, but don't worry, your work is safe. So I will be improving the graphics of it and the layout of it, but your work will always be preserved. It's well-preserved in a separate MySQL database. Todd Criminal says, the YouTube video Steel Man in God as an interesting argument for the existence of God. I don't know if I've seen this video. I should have a look, and I'll see if I've heard the argument before. There are a lot of arguments out there, or purported arguments around God. Rod Dreher on Twitter says, day 6 of COVID, now my wife and kids have it too. All of us vaxxed. Wife and I both boosted not long ago. Everybody we know who has Omicron was vaxxed. Most also boosted. So I gotta ask, what's the point of vaccine passports now? Security theater, prepping social credit system. And Andrew Torba was saying, I really enjoyed some of Dreher's books to see that he did not have the discernment to avoid 3 clot shots for himself and also his children is pretty unthinkable and sad. The leftists are starting to realize that they've gone into a moral craze, that they lost their mind. And we hear that there is currently a hostage situation in a synagogue. Texas SWAT team responds to hostage situation in synagogue. The synagogue was live streaming when the hostage situation began, and the rabbi apparently was holding the camera saying, I'm going to die. he says, I'm going to die at the end. Well, I don't know if it's the rabbi, but a man could be heard repeatedly saying, I'm going to die at the end of this. All right. Are you listening? I'm going to die. Okay. So don't cry for me. We don't know anything about the person who is holding these hostages. Could be a member of the community or could be someone from outside. There are three people. Last update of the news is that there were three people inside with him. And they were stuck inside and he was talking with the police negotiator. A man who I've faced in a debate has been trolling, apparently, some kind of public meeting.
Hello, Mr.
It's Alex Stein. I don't know this is from when. This is from this fall. But I hadn't seen that video and I hadn't commented on it. But this is Alex Stein, who I debated on Modern Day Debate. His position back then was, he was a bizarre guy. He says he's right wing, but his position was that there was racism in the police and it's an overarching, omnipresent thing. Now he's trolling on the subject of abortion.
Mr. Mayor, and thank you for allowing me this time to speak to you today, but unfortunately the subject that I have to speak about is very traumatic and personal to me. With the new abortion legislation brought forth by the Texas Supreme Court allowing the heartbeat bill and limiting abortions to 6 weeks is incredibly unconstitutional. Bill Gates' father, William Gates Sr., would be so disappointed in his son for letting this bill pass, considering Gates' family involvement in starting Planned Parenthood with Margaret Sanger. Currently, I'm in a situation where I have three different birthing people pregnant at the same time, and I would like for all of them to have abortion.
Birthing people? So that's where you start to feel he might be trolling here.
But unfortunately, with this new heartbeat bill, we're unable to get the usual abortions that we often get. I don't like to use any contraception whatsoever because it hinders my performance, so that's why I depend on abortions as a 100% effective form of birth control. But now that the state is making it almost impossible for birthing people to even get an abortion, I'm going to be forced to change my entire lifestyle. Roe versus Wade made it very clear that abortions are completely legal, and I wish Dallas would take a page out of New York's rule book and approve late-term abortion up to 6 hours after birth, because this would...
6 hours after birth?
...solve a lot of problems for expected parents that don't want to have the financial obligation of raising a child that they didn't plan for with money that they don't have. And although I'm perfectly capable of financially supporting a young child, and I know that I would get crazy amount of likes and comments on my TikTok and Instagram accounts from all the cool babies...
Okay, so he goes on to troll and look like a narcissist who's only interested in getting abortions for his three birthing people. It's funny. It's relatively simple, not particularly insightful. But Alex is a funny guy. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions tonight, or you can use the super chat feature of Odyssey also. The cash super chats are enabled on Odyssey. Our survey on Entropy is, are you happy about the Virginia orders? Yes, meh, or no? That is our question. We have some progress in Virginia, although there is some worrying things in there. So it's double-sided. Let's have a look at it. From Greg Price, Governor Glenn Youngkin's first executive orders / directives include rescinding the Virginia vaccine mandate for state employees, rescinding the mask mandate for children in schools, ending CRT in schools, and investigating wrongdoing in Loudoun County. Now, the Loudoun County stuff, that was a case of parents complaining at school boards and eventually the school boards treating them horribly and treating them like terrorists at some point and not listening to what they had to say and at times violating local rules. So this would happen. Although when I look at the Fox News coverage of this news item, I find that there is more than described in the original Gab post. I'm totally happy with the ban of critical race theory, the ban of forced mask, But And the fact of declaring Virginia open for business, so no more lockdowns in Virginia. But they are also establishing a commission to combat anti-Semitism. And anytime the government gets into this, I'm looking at the order right now. The problem is that we're talking about opinions here, and opinions are protected by the First Amendment. So there is nothing that the government can do about anti-Semitism. Now, it can, it could in principle combat crimes that are committed with anti-Semitic intent, but that's not much. You're already combating crimes. If you commit a crime, whether the crime was motivated by A, B, C, doesn't really matter. You're going to end up in jail. And on top of it, in the order, we can see that there's more than combating crime here. For example, they say, every manifestation of anti-Semitism or Holocaust denial is an affront to our society and will not be accepted in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Who's adding these words here? Because Holocaust denial is a protected opinion in the U.S., it's a protected opinion under the First Amendment. So there is nothing that the Virginia government or governor can do against an opinion. And yet they say they will not be accepted in the Commonwealth of Virginia. What does that mean? What can you do? You can do nothing about it. So it's, as someone says on the chat, two steps forward, one step backward. Why does he do this? Like, is he going to gain votes doing this? Is there going to be a massive Jewish contingent of electors just voting Youngkin, you think? Crazy Catman says the Holocaust denial is illegal in about 20 countries. Yes, there are plenty of countries where it's illegal. In America, it doesn't make sense. In America, the First Amendment applies. Breakdown in trust, Loudoun County parents file court petitions to remove school board chair. Brenda Sheridan has become the poster adult for claims of abusive school board conduct. That's an old article, but that's just to say this is the kind of person who will be investigated by this new Loudoun County order. Seeking to see if parents have been abused at the local level by school boards that were denying them the right to speak, that were not listening to them, and on whose children have been forced to wear masks and be subjected to the whole medical diktats while Youngkin wasn't a governor. Crazy Catman says, in the USA, it's not technically illegal, but it's effectively illegal if you plan to not be depersoned. Exactly, that's what's happening. They are finding parallel routes to cancel culture. Virginia's new AG, Jason Miares, announces major investigations within hours of taking office. So that's the new Attorney General of Youngkin. Newly sworn in a statement released on Saturday, just hours after Miares and Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin were sworn in, Miares explained why he has launched an investigation into the Commonwealth's parole board, as well as Loudoun County Public Schools. One of the reasons Virginians get so fed up with government is the lack of transparency. The Virginia Parole Board broke the law when they let out murderers, rapists, and cop killers early on their sentences without notifying the victims. Loudoun County Public Schools covered up a sexual assault on school grounds for political gain, leading to an additional assault of a young girl. This was a case, I believe, if I remember correctly, that there was a male 14-year-old male high school student who identifies as non-binary, who has been found guilty of raping a female student in a school bathroom, and they have been denying this fact in front of the protestations and the claims of the parents. Yeah, hopefully this changes in Virginia and they adopt a different attitude. William Runner says, hello, JF. Hello, William. China reveals AI news anchor, almost indistinguishable from real human. Hello, everyone. I am the artificial intelligence news anchor on National Business Daily. I am the virtual twin of the original host. I have been running, reporting the news undetected for 70 days now. The AI news anchor, N. Xiaohe, revealed itself to its television viewers on December 20, 2021, after 1,700 hours of a continuous live news broadcast. I love that it took 1,700 hours of a continuous live news broadcast for people to start saying, hey, this guy never eats. This guy never sleeps. Oh my God. On the same day, the Chinese state-controlled media, National Business Daily, and the AI company Xiaohe jointly announced the official launch of their collaborative live news broadcasting TV programs run entirely by AI, the first of its kind. My God, they're coming for me. They're coming for me. The Chi-Coms are going to come for me. They're going to replace me eventually with an AI just speaking. Hopefully I can still outperform the AI in terms of a human link with you guys. Go Away says on Entropy, will arguments for or against historical issues be allowed on arguably.io? Would someone like Ryan Dawson and his work on 9/11 be debated there? Well, arguably.io is not a place for debate, but I would absolutely allow any sort of debate around history other than the big one, which I say we're going to maybe do sometime, but not for now. The big one is too controversial and I would get in trouble because I'm hosting the website locally precisely so that we can have maximal freedom of speech. But because I'm hosting it locally, that also means we have to respect the Canadian law. So debates about 9/11. I would want all of the arguments around 9/11 to be present on the encyclopedia. Now, the encyclopedia is not a place for debating the issue. It's a place for cataloging the arguments and linking them to each other and saying, this is an argument for this idea. It has these characteristics. It is being defended by these people. So it's not a place of debate. But other than this, yes, totally, I would welcome any of the historical debates, no matter how controversial, except the big one. Ariel Suarez says, the big one cannot be touched even with a 10-foot pole. Even with all my networking precautions and my backyard internet setup, even that is too much. And the problem is it would get the site banned from any search engine, even DuckDuckGo. So it's like we would disappear from existence. Sprocket says, what if you had put your physical server location outside of Canada? Would it still be under Canadian law? Well, it would be if I was to declare myself publicly the runner of this, but it would be easier to escape Canadian law because then I could have started the website without ever saying that I'm controlling it, and then we would be in a different legal situation. But honestly, it's not worth it because they will attack domain names, they will attack your ranking in search engines, and they will make you disappear from search engines if they want to. So Canadian law is just one aspect of it, and in the end, there's so much to be done, so much work to be done that's valuable outside of the big one, that I think we will become an extremely valuable resource. We just need the arms, we need the brains, we need you guys. Just go on it and let yourself go. The site is not presentable right now, but it's ready to welcome your contributions. So it's a good time to form the basic structure of the site. Just at Nurse says, arguably that IO is a place for per-proven facts. No, it is a place where I want even the wrong claims. Hello, Mama JF, what's up?
Hey, but the Jews were so nice. They were one of the only ones who protest against the mask.
The Jews have protested against the mask?
Yes, you don't remember? They were refusing to wear it on the plane and stuff.
Ah, yeah, okay, yes. We've seen some resistance in planes by a Jewish couple.
Oh, really?
Yeah, does it mean that the Jews are nice? Maybe we can do a generalization here, maybe.
Because I thought maybe you want to protect them.
Oh, what? I mean, there is something like an association between religious conservatism and a general resistance to government diktats. That's for sure.
Yes. Hey, do you think Jews are against vaccine?
It depends on which Jews we're talking about. There are
the one on CNN.
There's the Hasidic Jews, for example. They are totally anti-vaccine. They're so anti-vaccines that, you know, they reawaken diseases that were considered extinguished.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of leftists were complaining against the Hasidic community because they were reawakening some of the diseases that are targeted by the MMR vaccine, because they don't even take the MMR vaccine. That's just how based they are.
Nice.
Now, if we're talking about the Jews that are more integrated to society, those that are present in our media system, they're not religious conservatives, and they're very much hand in hand with state power. So, not those Jews.
Yeah, no, David. No, not those.
Isn't it fun, Mama JF, that you can be here and we can talk about the Jews and no one is annoying us?
Yes.
But we couldn't say anything, but Odyssey allows us to discuss openly these subject matters.
Well, I could still say it on YouTube,
You could say it, but you would lead to us losing our monetization and stuff like this. All right, Canada needs more people like this restaurant owner, a restaurant owner who has resisted to the governmental aggression. They came to her restaurant, and she was explaining. She got them out of the restaurant. She didn't want to hear about the bureaucratic charges that were levied against her.
Sherry?
Nope,
she's coming up.
Hey, what's your name,
hon?
Okay, hang on one sec. I'll get a time.
Hi there.
Sherry, hi.
I was here last year.
I know you were last week.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, yeah. And I issued you the warning?
Yeah.
And the education?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we're back.
And I'm telling you, you're still out of your jurisdiction.
I'm letting you know.
Okay.
She tells the woman who's there to message provincial law around masks and vaccine or whatever. She says, you're out of your jurisdiction. Let's wait to see why she thinks she's out of her jurisdiction.
Provincial lockdown right now. Restaurants are not allowed to
deal. I'm not under provincial jurisdiction, ever.
She's not under provincial jurisdiction? Then what's your jurisdiction, lady?
On sovereign land.
She's on sovereign land. Yeah, she's a free citizen occupying a space outside of the provincial framework. I'm loving this. A sovereign land.
Paralegal is on his way here. You can discuss it with him.
Okay. Well, I'm just.
She has a paralegal that will that will explain to her that the law doesn't apply there.
Asking and I'm educating you right now. If you do not shut this down, follow the provincial rules.
If she does not shut this down,
I don't follow provincial rules here.
There will be charges coming.
There will be charges coming.
Okay. The lettuce?
There will be some charges coming.
What kind of charges?
I don't know. I'm just telling you. You need to shut this down.
What do you mean you don't know?
If you don't know, you don't what know what.
She doesn't know the charges, but there are charges coming. That sounds like extortion. By the way, you cannot threaten someone to prosecute. You have to prosecute. You cannot say, you know, I might very well prosecute you if you don't do this.
Charges are, what, you going to go trump them up in the frickin' office?
Jeez.
You either know what charge you're going to be filing or there is no charge. And if you haven't noticed this pandemic, they're making these bullshit rules as they go.
Right.
So and you're infringing on my right to feed myself. You're infringing on my right for my son to feed himself. You're on sovereign land, dealing with First Nations people. You've killed enough of the babies.
Ah, okay, it's a First Nation woman. You know what? She might be right. I thought she was just a free citizen kind of libertarian who always end up losing in court, which is a sad thing. I think they should win. But if she's a Native American in First Nation style of families or land, she might actually have a point.
You take them away and haul them off in graves. You hold nobody accountable, and now you're trying to put me into starvation.
So Rhonda's made you aware of why we're here? Okay, so
she's made me aware of what? That I might be charged, but she doesn't know what I'll be charged with? Well, then the law must not exist.
That's not the issue right now.
What is the issue?
The issue is you've been told that this is a lockdown, and you're not supposed to feel
it. These aren't laws. These are not constitutional laws on any human being.
As long as you're aware of that.
As long as you're aware that you're doing the work. Oh, wait a minute. Why don't you stay and talk to my lawyer? Why don't you talk to my lawyer?
I had to follow him out the door.
Wow. Boys.
Get out, Nazi. there is so much. This is so Canadian, because in America you would have a bunch of people pulling their hair and throwing themselves onto the ground. In Canada it's like, go out, Nazi. It doesn't even have the pronunciation. Normally they would say like, Nazis, you fucking Nazis, but in Canada it's like, go out, Nazi.
Nazi.
Ain't
coming out.
You guys are awful, turning on your own citizens. Why don't you go live in communist China? Go live on the credit score.
Go live on the credit score.
Come in, try to take people's livelihoods to make a living.
Sherry,
get the
don't
fuck out and don't come back. Don't shake your head at me either, you fucking brown shirt.
Okay.
Yay, people are applauding. Really great. I don't necessarily recommend doing this, because you can get in massive trouble and they could take all of your properties. And if you don't have the right arguments in court, and even if you have the right arguments, the courts are so corrupted. So be careful. But I love that there's people who have the balls to do it. Chronic Boom says she wants the link to it. Here it is on BitChute. I've put it in the regular chat. Omicron is surging and Democrats aren't shutting things down this time. Democrats have a message for Omicron flooded America. Get vaxxed and carry on. Yeah, well, that's a cope. The message is, you've been enacting all of these measures. They haven't worked. They have only destroyed the country, which is what you wanted to do under Trump anyway. And now you are not under Trump anymore, and you're starting to realize that your negative attitude and your anti-business practices are starting to be destructive for your own political movement and your own states. It's not so much that the vax is now here, because the vax has been here for a while. You're just realizing that you've been hurting this country and hurting your own cause. And you may be paying the price. Hopefully they will pay the price in the 2022 election. British government used propagandistic fear tactics to scare public into mass compliance. We had already reviewed the outcome of this report. I don't think there's anything new other than it's now covered at Zero Hedge. In my mind, the most egregious and far-reaching mistake made in responding to the pandemic has been the level of fear willingly conveyed to the public. That fear seems to have subsequently driven policy decisions in a worrying feedback loop. He added, noting that such actions amounted to state-sanctioned propaganda. I agree, but I don't think the system will be able to self-diagnose with this craziness. Thomas says, another massive spike is predicted by the federal health officials in Canada. You think they will pull a big spike out of their butts? In the next few weeks, they say. Well, there will be a spike of freaking Omicron. There will... There will. It's almost inevitable. Let me check the data from Canada right now to see what's the state of things. Yeah, I mean, we're already in the spike, to be honest. Now, if you're telling me that they're predicting another spike, they might be surprised. If you go back, this is December. And December was here, the 2020 of December, and this is the 2021 of December. Now, if it follows back the pattern of 2020, the next spike would be due around March to May. But I don't see a particular reason why it would follow this pattern. Let us remind ourselves that this was the Delta wave. It probably came in because Delta showed up late. Essentially, we were still in a spring season and Delta showed up out of season. That was what I kept reminding people, that we're in a wave of virus that was out of season. The same thing could happen. There could be something beyond Omicron, just like Delta, and it could show up late. But the chances of it happening are low, I would say. What would be desirable, at least, what I would like to happen, is that this Omicron wave doesn't lead to much death. We can see here the deaths are starting to spike, but let's not forget that there are so many people having Omicron. Like, if you look at the size of this peak with respect to this peak, there's basically 5 times more. More than 5 times, maybe 7 times more cases detected under Omicron than there was under any previous waves in Canada. So if the multiple is times 7, and you look at the deaths are 0.7. So essentially, in terms of order of magnitude, Omicron is 10 times less dangerous than any of the last of the previous strands in terms of inducing death. Now, under some reservations, perhaps there will be data coming in, perhaps the statistics are not updated, or perhaps the deaths take some time to occur. But if this peak doesn't dramatically rise, it means that Omicron is very, very much less dangerous than previous waves. And at this point, we will be faced with the problem that we are testing so much that essentially there will be people out of a sample of 50,000 people, you're going to have a bunch of people just dying randomly within the time window where they had COVID, where COVID was detected. And we're going to face the point where, okay, well, with 50,000 new daily cases, basically, a lot of the people that die every day in Canada will turn out to have COVID. And we need to stop this kind of fake count. We need to get serious about evaluating the causes of death. They're starting to reckon with this in the US, where Fauci admitted, okay, hospitalization, a lot of people end up hospitalized with COVID rather than by COVID. And it's time we do the same with death, and it's time we recognize the same thing in Canada. Predicting a wave, I would say at this point, a wave beyond the Omicron wave is very risky. I don't think Canada can know that there will be a next wave. The question is, will there be a variant successful enough to cause some rise here? We still don't know. Thomas O'Ward says, lockdowns and shuttering businesses is the prelude to the second Holodomor The businesswoman knows it. Indeed, sir, thanks for calling out the elephant in the room. You know, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it is, but it certainly is not, certainly is worrying. Sprocket says, does the discrete audio hardware you bought have any advantage over purely software solutions other than the fact you have more buttons so you don't need to dedicate screen space to controls? Generally, hardware performs better. First, the software layer always has enormous delays, so I had to actually delay the speed of my web camera so that they would enter at the same time into Streamlabs, into the final video. So that's one advantage. The latency is much better on a hardware system. And I will say also, there are things that software cannot do well. Software cannot do preamp well. Not at all. When I have the PreSonus Tube Pre-V2, it's amplifying the signal. That you'll never do that in software without amplifying the whole background noise with it. Because the problem of the digital is that it catches a lot of the little grainy noise at the bottom. But it catches it so well that it's hard to get rid of once you go for gain. Whereas these analog solutions, your voice passes through a vacuum tube and it's transformed in electrons and the vacuum tubes has electric pulls, like negative, positive, which bends the wave physically and amplifies the signal by this. That gives a totally different feel to the voice, and it does it in a way that leaves the background noise behind. Same thing with the Cloud Lifter, leaves the background noise behind. As far as the Sonic Exciter Behringer, there are software solutions that look like it, but again, it's so much better to have it before it's recorded through digital. It feels better. And as the technician who helped me, because there is a member of the audience who knows about radio host audio type of stuff, and he's the one who helped me figure out that I needed all this stuff. One moment. He helped me figure out that I needed all these items. And he's a genius. He's very good. Thank you so much, because my voice is much better since then. But he told me also that there is one thing that hardware systems do that you can never get in software systems. It is the pull of a limited 120 volt of electricity. These devices, as you speak, your voice suddenly demands more power as the you know, the Sonic Exciter wants to drag more power to add its Sonic Exciter effect, and the preamp wants more power to preamp. As this happens, there is kind of a rhythm between your voice and the pull of electricity that gives this kind of... It's hard to explain, but it's... I don't even know if we can perceive it on my audio stream, but his philosophy is to think that this matters, that there's this kind of lack of electricity draining when you speak more and a little more electricity available when you speak less. And he thinks that it matters to the final sound. He thinks it gets into the preamp. It gets into the whole system. There is a willpower, pineapple platypotamus. You're right. It's the willpower of the hardware. Now, the next thing that I would like to have is a compressor, but they are awfully high price. It's like something like $1,000 minimum to get a good compressor. It's diode compressor. That would be the next, but I don't know if I want it. I have kind of a digital compressor already in my system, but a true analog diode compressor would be $1,000 and more. I prefer that buying the server. That was a better buy for me. Go Away says, I know it's not your style, but I'm considering getting a mortgage for an investment property The leverage just seems insane. With $200,000, I can buy an $800,000 property where the rental income will cover the majority of the mortgage repayments. An $800,000 asset will protect me from inflation. Thoughts? The problem here is you're already telling me that it won't, the rental income will not cover the full property. And so I have questions about this. So you have a constant stream of income. You are absolutely certain that you will always have that stream of income. And do you have the possibility to combat potentially renters leaving your place and the demand being reduced so that or you get defrauded by your renters and they end up not being able to pay you? What do you do when that happens? A mortgage is a risky thing, but if you think you can do it, there are situations in which it's worth it. Personally, I don't like this. And you say it's protecting you against inflation. Certainly, but is it still relevant to protect ourselves against inflation when the massive inflation is mostly behind us? It's not to say that inflation will not come again, but it's probably not going to come in massive ways in the next year or 2 years or 4 years or even 5 years. There might be a wave of inflation 10 years down the line, but the next thing you have to face is economic crisis, increase of interest rates, renegotiation on mortgage rates that will make you struggle. They will bring you to your neck. You will be flooded. Just, I don't know what's your deal with the mortgage, but I would bet they're going to make a renegotiable interest rate. That means for now it will look affordable for you. But in 3 years, 5 years down the line, they're going to renegotiate. And imagine the interest rate after an economic crisis in which you lost all your renters. And on top of it, the bank comes and says it's not 7% anymore, or it's not 5% anymore, it's 15%. And now suddenly your payments double or something like this. Are you going to be able to handle the totality of all this? I don't know, bro. I tend to think that the mortgage system is a bullshit system that was put together to make boomers believe that that everything was possible, and for them it was possible. For them it worked. Sprocket says, but can they renegotiate without your consent? Yeah. That's it. These rates, when they say renegotiable, it's not is that not fun? I can reduce my interest rate. No, they can increase too. Listen, I think that the mortgage system is a fishing net for the bankers so that they can fish your house. You're the fish, the bankers are the fishermen. And at times, you might be able to pay. In which case they say, all right, with this guy, we only made the interest and it's still good for us, but we didn't get the chance to steal his house, which sucks. Whereas in a lot of other cases, people are buying overpriced property. They are taking loans. They can't repay these loans eventually, and all of it falls in the pocket of the banker, who ends up just repossessing. Go away, says, I figure if interest rates go up, I can just sell and cash out my capital gains and pay off the mortgage in full. But you won't be able to do this in a state of crisis. That's my problem. There has to be a crisis coming. There has to be a big drop of the markets, real estate and otherwise. How will you weather through this? That's my question. Now, your answer, you know your personal situation. You may be in a situation where you'll be able to handle everything. But you have to calculate, am I able to handle half of my renters disappearing, owing 6 months worth of payments to me with a destroyed apartment as they leave, while the bank goes after me and increases my interest rate? This is what you need to be able to handle. Do you? I couldn't. So I'm not going to buy these kinds of property. It never stops, by the way. My brothers are totally into this. And it's like, oh, as they get out of paying their first property, they've already bought six others. And so you're really just an agent for the bank until the bank comes and fishes you. You're going to get fished, I'm afraid. But maybe you'll be successful, but ultimately you pay the price of your own risks. You know the risks. The risk, I'm telling you, is for the next 10 years, there is certainly a point in time, and it's probably sooner than later, where major amounts of Americans will lose their job, renters will become unreliable, incomes will be unavailable to a lot of people, and banks are going to massively increase interest rates. A crisis is coming. Are you able to weather through? Good luck. Riding the Tiger says, Jeff, what is your view on pensions? Sorry if this is too broad a topic to go into. No, I mean, I'm not a man of pensions. I understand that a lot of people have this, and there's probably a good rationale to do it. But to be honest, a lot of the normies are essentially throwing their money into systems that are unsustainable and that don't even outperform what they could have done. For example, just to take one example, and I'm not saying it's what everyone should do, but just having put this money into BTC, you would have outperformed any sort of these official pension systems. So I tend to think it's a way to rip off the normie. It's another phishing that's happening in our society, where the normies are like, oh, it's taken from my check every week and I don't mind, and it's increasing in percentages and I don't have much time to follow this. Here's my pension. That's my kind of life. Now, it's an extreme kind of life, but as I wrote this book, I knew that I would have a more solid asset to leave to my children and to live in my old age than any of the normies throwing their small amounts of money every week. Although, you know, there's so much propaganda. They tell you, oh, it's always good to keep saving young, which is true. It's true, but the general places they tell you to put that money in are just slowly being outperformed by the rest of society, by things like Bitcoin and things like owning a stream of income and owning a business. So yeah, pensions may be a solution that is worth for you if you live the normie lifestyle. I'm a man who puts everything in BTC and who puts all of my intelligence in a product that I know will sell 50 years down the line. Most people shouldn't live my lifestyle, but I do. Naberius says on Entropy, Nathan Kofnas posted an article about free discussion around Kevin McDonald's IDs in Quillette. It's full of strawmen, but it surprises me that it even exists. Do you think some thinkers secretly recognize the value of certain IDs and try to smuggle them into broader discourse? Yeah, and Nathan Kofnas would be an example, you know, of a man of Jewish descent who somehow interacts with the right and with the nationalist. Why he does this? Probably through a kind of secret, probably kind of a liberal conception of the world, where he thinks, okay, I have to beat these IDs if I want to convince myself that I won. And also perhaps because he sees some value, he sees it as not totally dismissible. By the way, Naberius, I've seen you started an arguably.io account. I'm very happy that we'll have you on the encyclopedia. I don't know what you plan to do, but I'm excited about the future. Horse Feathers says it was tempting to go to the landlord route, but BTC seemed like much less hassle and avoids lawfare from government and tenant headaches. Yeah, when you think about the amount of trouble you can avoid if you just enter in cryptocurrency at the right time, which is not necessarily now, but like entering in ETH, let's say in a year or 2 years from now, you're probably going to be making more money than you will ever in your whole real estate venture, because your real estate venture is going to come with all the crap of the sewers of the real world. You're literally going to have to connect sewers at some point. You're literally going to have to repair the toilet when it breaks for your tenants. It's and if you like doing this, it's all good. It's doable. There are people who have done it, and there is a way to get somewhat rich. Not like super rich, but there's a way to build your wealth with this. But there are alternatives that are very tempting. Carnival says, JF, click on hospitalizations chart here. Corona is basically just as bad a flu as just a bad flu now. Not so deadly, but with vaccines, we can make it stronger. I love the little jab at the vaccines here. We can make it stronger. Well, it may be what's happening. We may have created an environmental situation where the vaccines are evolving in a different direction. The virus is evolving in a different direction. The great Omicron sick out, millions of unwell Americans causing hellacious worker shortages. Record spikes in COVID-19 Omicron cases across the country are causing a nationwide worker sick out as businesses from airlines to grocery stores are suffering from disruptions, even though the new variant is markedly far less severe, yet far more transmissible than prior strains. According to Delta Airlines, Ed Bastian, the past few weeks have been hellacious, adding that around 10% of his workforce or 8,000 of his employees have contracted the virus in the past month. The shortages contributed to over 2,200 canceled Delta flights since December 24. All of this to avoid a freaking common cold / flu / respiratory virus. Sprocket says, why Mama JF not on this chat, JF? Type M for Mama. Well, that's true. We haven't seen much Mama JF on this chat. I don't know. Did she create an Odyssey account? Maybe she should create an Odyssey account and talk to you guys. We'll see if she does so. A Google Facebook conspiracy to destroy the journalism industry. So much for Don't Be Evil, Google's infamous slogan, as well as similar noise from Facebook. Multiple state attorneys allege the two tech giants struck a secret deal on advertising approved by both CEOs. Well, that's a story that they published yesterday, but we've been talking about this lawsuit many months ago. This lawsuit is still not progressing, but hopefully something happens. I find that this is so focused. It's like, oh, there was a drinking of wine between the CEOs on that day, and there was some agreement, and it's bad. Well, these monopolistic forces are bad in how they control speech, and there's no lawsuit against this. That is the big thing. That is how Google is controlling the minds of people through its monopoly, and this should be combated. Hello, Mama JF. Are you subscribing to Odyssey?
Yes, I need to make an account.
Oh, you need to make an account.
It's because I'm so busy all day, and Also, I'm working on a special project.
And one of the things you got busy on is sushi making.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. That was 2 days ago. You've made a giant plate of sushi.
Yes,
top quality.
Do you buy the whole salmon?
I bought an enormous salmon. Like, it was maybe, I don't know, 7 pounds, 8 pounds.
My God.
7 kilograms, 8 kilograms. I don't know. It was big.
Yes, and yes, the farmer called me today, and you have a half pig that will arrive.
We have a half pig coming. That will be awesome.
Do you think it will be just like a pig cut in half, like, or it will be butchered?
I'm ready to welcome my pig, no matter how it comes to me. It can come alive, half slaughtered, maybe cut in two.
Oh my
or maybe
God.
It will be just the pieces.
I hope it's gonna be the head part, not the other part, the back end part.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
We will
but
see.
Yes, I need to make Odyssey account. I'm gonna
yes.
do that.
All right. People want to see you on the regular chat. Senator Marshall to introduce the Fauci Act. After doctor called him a moron, Kansas Senator Roger Marshall plans to introduce legislation named after the nation's top doctor after he made headlines for name-calling on a hot mic. Marshall's bill, called the Financial Accountability for Uniquely Compensated Individuals, or Fauci Act, that is a funny name. The Financial Accountability for Uniquely Compensated Individuals, Fauci, will require that the Office of Government Ethics provides a list of all confidential filers within the government whose financial disclosures are not public. Yeah, I mean, there could be all sorts of problem with Fauci. And is he obligated to disclose his conflicts of interest? Can he be just owning stock market of companies involved in vaccines or masks? That is an important question. DeSantis, Democrat challenger, compares him to Hitler in a lot of ways. Instead of listening and trying to govern with the people, he is trying to govern over the people. And you know, that, I'm sorry, I'm a student of history too. I saw the rise of Hitler. She's 44 year old. She saw the rise of Hitler, and it was perfectly like Ron DeSantis. Oh my God. Biden forms new task force to tackle future COVID variants. That doesn't sound good. It sounds like they want to capture any future cases, and they want to advance their political moves according to these new cases. Why not just have the Office of Common Cold Acceptance? The OCCA. It's an office, and you can knock on the door of the office if you want. But if you don't annoy them, they don't annoy you. And you can ask them, what do we do about the next common cold? And the person, like, is a doctor with all of the expertise. And he's just telling you, you know what? Welcome to the Office of Common Cold Acceptance. You should drink fluids. You should stay healthy, and you should be able to welcome the common cold properly. Marjorie Greene says, Twitter has no power over me, and Republican voters could care less about Twitterverse. My enemies keep making the same dumb mistakes. Unchained means uncontrolled. Freedom of speech is powerful, and now my speech is unfiltered and no longer tempered by Twitter, because I don't have to worry about strikes, and I'm not limited by 280 characters Twitter is nothing but a fading far-left echo chamber filled with arrogant, self-absorbed jerks who think they are better than everyone else. I've always said the best way to beat big tech censorship is by fair competition in the marketplace. Create the freedom for other platforms to fairly compete and let customers decide who they like. That's a beautiful statement. Powerful. Chronic Boom says, my grandpa used to say, how long will a common cold last without medication? 7 days. And with medication, 1 week. Okay. That sounds like the same duration. Oathkeepers, what the indictment says and does not say about January 6th, the indictment of 11 individuals associated with the Oathkeepers produced an immediate deluge of the postings that an insurrection had finally been established on the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The charges, though, do not establish an insurrection. It does reveal how extremist groups show the protest as an opportunity and hoped that it might trigger greater unrest. However, the indictment does not offer the long-sought proof of an insurrection to fulfill the narrative of many commentators and politicians. The provision has long been controversial because it is so sweeping and includes any effort to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law. Okay, so essentially the law is based around the delay that was caused by the protesters as they got to the January 6th, to the Congress, to which eventually led to a delay in the voting. Of course, the politicians, knowing that a delay could be interpreted as a crime, as an insurrection, one must ask the question, is it possible that the politicians on purpose didn't secure the Congress with the hope of being delayed, with the hope of being then able to use that kind of law? Because it doesn't seem like the clowns that we've seen in this insurrection with you know, bison attrails as clothes, it doesn't seem like these people would have been hard to keep out of the Congress. So is it possible that the politicians, knowing that this law could eventually be used against them, wanted to be slowed down? Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, did you know that beta male seals who are denied sex resort to fucking penguins? No, I didn't know this. I can't help but think that my life, it felt better when I didn't know it. The seals will go to fuck the penguins? Are you serious? Denial of natural immunity and CMS vaccine mandate unprecedented in modern history. Scott Atlas was one of the Trump task force advisors. Eventually, he got pushed away, I believe, or they stopped trusting him, whatever. Something happened that led to this guy disappearing. But in any case, he's now complaining that the vaccine mandates do not consider natural immunity. Yeah, and it's a political thing why they don't consider natural immunity. It's not that it would matter that much. It's just that they know they cannot impose the vaccine to as much people, and they cannot make that big of a case for vaccine passports if natural immunity becomes this kind of loose way in which you get out of trouble, in which you don't get the vaccine. Because they want to sell as much vaccine as possible and impose it on as much people as possible, they need to deny any sort of out, including the religious outs and the natural immunity outs. What else do we have in the news? We are headed toward the conclusion of the show. Manhattan apartments with doorman soar to new record high. What's stunning is that median apartment rents in Manhattan are back to pre-pandemic highs. Rents for apartments with door attendants soared to a new record high, while ones without door attendants are still below 2019 levels. So you have essentially the rich are getting more and more apartments, and the poor, the market is dropping. This is something to consider for Go Away. You know, we were talking about owning real estate. What would you do? What would the value of your little apartments be in an America where there are only high class apartments that are cashing in on people with lots of money, and the people doesn't have income anymore to, and jobs are getting rarer, and you, as a consequence, cannot succeed at having reliable tenants. What would you do in that America? Tom Burgess says, surely a seal that fucks a penguin regains his alpha status by doing such an act. You see it as a subject of respect for the seal? I see it as a failure. Interspecies sex is always illustrative of a failure. Except in plants. I do allow some cauliflower, you know, male flower to fuck a female radish flower, create the cauliflower radish hybrid. I'm fine. But in the animal domain, I see it as wrong. That is it for tonight, boys. Don't forget, if it's loading incorrectly for you, you can download the show in MP3 form. It's right in the description below. You will see the link. It will become available generally about 10 minutes after I end every show, every night. For those of you who are on the road, the truckers, the people who can't afford a good internet, i.e. Americans, you can download the MP3. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.